be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The shepherds went in haste to Bethlehem and found Mary and Joseph and the infant lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known the message that had been told about this child. All who heard it were amazed by what had been told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. When 8 days were completed for his circumcision, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. The Gospel of the Lord. So happy New Year once again, everyone. Today is the 8th day of our celebration of Christmas, of the Nativity of the Lord. In our tradition, every major event in our salvation history, like Christmas and Easter, is celebrated not just one day, but for 8 days. You call that an octave. So we have an octave of Christmas and we have an octave of Easter. 8 days of celebrating the great event. And rightly so, because these changes many, many things in our lives. The coming of the Lord and, of course, the passion, death, and resurrection of the same Lord. And the church guides us in our understanding of the meaning of each event. And so every day of the octave, there's a reflection that's been given to us by the church to guide us in understanding the meaning of the event. As I have mentioned to you in these last few days of our daily masses of the octave, you know, we are invited to join the Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph and the shepherds and the angels as they watch over the child, as they contemplate the child. See, in their hearts, they're asking themselves, what's the meaning of this child? What child is this? Today, Saint Luke guides our reflection on the meaning of the coming of the Son of God amongst us. And the key to that understanding is the title of Mary that we celebrate today. Today is the solemnity of Mary, the Mother of God. Now, certainly for all of us who are in the Catholic faith, in this Catholic tradition, that title, Mary, the Mother of God, is an innocuous title. It's part of our life. It's like the air we breathe. It's common. It's natural. But did you know that title has been the stumbling block for many, many people, beginning in the early years of the church, back in the 400 AD. And of course, until now, we have our brothers and sisters outside of our tradition who would question, how can someone like Mary, simply human, be the Mother of God? God has no mother. God is pure spirit. But always remember that when we speak of Mary as the Mother of God, we are not referring to Mary as someone like a goddess. You know, like she's been turned into a deity, as others would claim, whenever we speak of her as Mother of God. When we speak of Mary as the Mother of God, she is the Mother of God because she gave birth to God. If we say that Jesus is her son, if we say, as we hear in the proclamation of the angel Gabriel to her, if we say that Jesus, God, took on his flesh from her and brought her forth as his mother, and Jesus being God, therefore, she is the mother of God. Plain and simple. We're speaking of Mary's role as a mother who gave birth to the Savior, who happens to be God himself. You see, God was intent on saving us. Because from the very beginning, it's been the desire of God to gather everyone to himself, to make us participate in his life, for us to share in the life of God. We see that. We see that original vision in the creation of paradise. When God, after having the Blessed Mother, after having Adam and Eve in paradise, he says, all of these are yours. All of these are yours. And what are these things? Well, these are the delights of paradise, which sprung from the life of God. And so now God would like to share this very life, this bounty, to his beloved children, Adam and Eve. But then, of course, we know what happened. Adam and Eve refused that offer, that life of participating in the life of God, and they went on their merry way, merry, sinful way, and so the whole thing was forgotten. But God continues to gather his people. And so the way he did that in these last days is to come to be one like us and to heal that wound of original sin. You see, original sin sprung from our humanity, from our fleshliness. And so therefore, to save us, God will have to take on flesh as well, so that the battle for our redemption from original sin is fought at the level of the flesh. Well, God is spirit. God is spirit. And so, in some ways, the Blessed Mother helped in that redeeming act by giving to God our flesh. You see, we can say that's our flesh because she is one of us. She's the pride of our race. And the flesh that she gave to God was our flesh too. And so that was the vision. Now, as we gifted God our flesh, our humanity, God also gifted us something even more. God, in exchange, gifted us with his divinity. So there's a marvelous exchange that happened. We gave God, through the Blessed Mother, our flesh, and God gave us in return his divinity. We see that happening in the person of Christ, who is both God and human. He's both God and human. And the Blessed Mother was the one who brought forth into the world that perfect coming together of human and divine. That is why she is the Mother of God. What does that mean when we say there is a wonderful exchange of the flesh and divinity, of humanity and divinity, us giving our humanity to Christ, to God, and then God giving us his divinity in return? Well, I mentioned to you already the importance of that. The importance of that is for Jesus Christ, he is able to combat our enemy, the devil, and winning for us our salvation, because through his humanity, he was able to save that which was wounded from the very beginning. For our part, we had been given the divinity of God. And Saint John, in the second letter, in the second reading today, mentions that he said something like, "See what love the Father has for us, that He made us sons and daughters of God, that He made us children of God. We can only say that we are children of God because God has given us His divinity. Now I know, we often say, I am a child of God, I am a son of God, I am a daughter of God. But do you know exactly what you're saying? When you say you are a son and daughter of God, are you saying that with an understanding, or you're just saying that as an empty rhetoric, as a nice thing to say? You see, that word, that you are a daughter of God, that you are a son of God, that we are children of God, has many, many deep implications. Remember your children, your offspring. They are your children. Your children takes on your attribute. There is something of you that's in your children. Sometimes they are the perfect copy of you. They have your eyes. They have your nose, the color of your skin, your manner of speaking, your comportment. They take that from you. So therefore, if you say you are a child of God, you take something that is God and now visibly in yours. What am I saying? When we say that we are children of God who is holy and divine, that divinity and that holiness now that comes to us and becomes a fact of our existence, we had become divinized because of the incarnation, because of the gift of God of Himself to us. We all have been divinized. That's why St. Paul would refer to the church as saints. All of us are saints with a small letter S. Because we had been divinized. What else does that mean when we say we had been divinized because of the gift of God of His divinity to us? What does that mean? Well, it means, and I mentioned this to you, some of you have heard this before. If we had been divinized, and all of us had been divinized, if we had been divinized, so therefore, sin is no longer part of our nature. Imagine attaching sin to God. No, that's stupidity. If God has shared with us His divinity, so therefore, our anthropology has changed. Sin is not part of our nature. That's the reason why God gave us the sacrament of reconciliation, so that every time we fall into sin, we miss the mark, we run to the confessional to remove that stain of sin, because that's not part of our nature. At the same time also, our lives should not be defined by vices or sins. You know, plenty of times, sometimes we take pride in some of these vices. You know, I eat a lot. I like to indulge myself. You know, I like money. You know, or I like alcohol. You know? I like winning at all cost. The extreme pursuit of those things turn into vices. And we shouldn't be defined by them. Rather, we should be defined, our identity as people should be defined by the very dignity that has been given to us because we had been divinized from God's coming to be one like us. You know, when a person immerses himself or herself in a lifestyle of sin, that nobility of being a son or daughter of God becomes denigrated. Because as a son and daughter of God, we are given the grace to have a complete rein on our passions. You know, we have to rein in our passions. We have to rule over our passions, our lower tastes. And that ennobles us. That makes us shine as children of God. But what sin does is that it reduces us not as a child of God, but as an animal. An animal is ruled by its instinct, by its craving. And so they behave like that. You know, an animal would like to relieve itself anywhere, and so it goes. An animal wants to eat, it will do everything in its power to be able to obtain food. When we sin, we act that way, not like child of God, but as a beast. You know, I saw this people who were addicted to drugs, extreme addiction to cocaine or those high-powered drugs, somewhere here in downtown LA or in New York. I saw them in Philadelphia also. Have you seen those men and women who would stand at the sidewalk because of extreme addiction? They're turned into zombies, and they would be in catatonic posture, keeping that posture like a statue, because they had been so destroyed by drugs. Sometimes they would have themselves bent all the way down to their toes. It's sad to see that, because we don't merit that. We don't merit that. We deserve far better things than that as children of God. What you're doing today is apropos to your calling as child of God. And so today, my friends, as we begin this new year, may we be reminded of our noble calling, that because of the coming of Christ, we had been divinized, and we became and were made one like Him in every way. May our taking of the body and blood of Christ strengthen that calling that we have, that we are children, noble sons and daughters of the Most High, of which Jesus Christ is our true brother and our God at the same time.